You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 236.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my friends? Guys, I cannot tell you how pumped and how excited I am about today's masterclass. I know I've said that in the past, but this is a little bit of a different episode that we're doing today because, you know, a lot of the guest experts I've had on the show, many of them I've had a relationship with and I've come to know on a personal level. Some I have not, and I've just built the relationship through the podcast, and it's something that has continued after the fact. In today's case, you know, there's been some instances in which I've had a really, really close friend and somebody that I know on a very, very personal level. And that's the case today. I got my boy, somebody who I've just come to know very well over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, Adrian Liao, on the podcast today. And I'm going to kind of just whet your appetite, tease you guys a little bit as to why you need to devote not just the next 30 to 45 minutes into listening to this masterclass, but Adrian and I were kind of talking offline, and I think we're going to make this a two-part episode because we have such a unique relationship. Not only has he become, you know, just one of my closest friends, but somebody who's just been in the foxhole with me in the business for the last 3 years and just somebody who has provided just such an immense amount of value to, you know, our business here in South Florida, our wholesale business. And you're going to hear, you know, kind of his thought process. Number one, how we connected, how we started working together. But Adrian has approached business, you know, in a very unique way that many others haven't. You know, many entrepreneurs go at this and they start their own business. They may or may not have a partner. Adrian has kind of taken his unique ability and rather than, you know, to steal his quote, rather than go, you know, fast by yourself, he's decided to go farther connecting with quality partners. And so on part one here, we're going to kind of like catch you guys up to speed as to how Adrian and I connected, how we became friends, how, you know, he started working in our business and then how we've become so close. It's almost like he's a partner without being an official partner in a way. And we'll kind of get into the details of that, but I think this show is going to add a tremendous amount of value to you, and you're going to, you know, come away with, my suspicion is you're going to come away with a couple key like nuggets and takeaways that you can use moving forward. Because again, Adrian has approached his business in a very different way than many others. So, I don't want to say much more than that. I really want you to tune in, listen, be attentive. And, Adrian, my man, with that, come on board, bro.
Love the introduction, Alex. Love the introduction.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, man. Well, again, dude. So, first of all, this is Adrian and I. We're so close, man, that we rag on each other, and so there may be a little bit of that going on. But
I was gonna say that's the nicest thing I've ever heard you say in 3-4 years knowing you.
Nah, man. You know it's out of love, bro. You know it's out of love. So
I'm messing around.
Yeah. So, Adrian, why don't you, first of all, before we even kind of get into how you and I first met, how we connected through a mutual friend, kind of give people a little bit of you know, in a couple of minutes, your background, you know, what you did before real estate, how you got into this business, and we'll go from there.
You got it, man. So my story is interesting. And Alex, I'll share a few things here that you may or may not even know. And we talk every day for, you know, many times. But my background before coming into real estate, and well, first of all, I'm Jamaican. Anyone who talks to me long enough figures that part out. But I've been in Miami since 2002, and I came to the University of Miami to study marine law. I'm, I have a marine biology and marine law background. I worked as a consultant, you know, pretty high paying job for about 8-9 years. And towards the end of that previous career, I kind of had ideas of being an entrepreneur. And what does that mean really, right? Have your own business, be your own boss. And ironically, that was never ever one of my desires growing up. I grew up pretty fortunate. My parents, we were always well off, never had to really, you know, encounter any debt, student debt growing up. And, you know, I essentially got everything. I was pretty I was an A student to pretty much just, you know, by the time I was 25, I had pretty much maxed out where I was in my job. And then that coincided with the time of the recession in 07, 08. And even though I kept my job, but the prospects looked a lot less promising from the inside. And I started to be curious about what else I could do outside. And always had I wouldn't say always, but I started to have an interest in real estate at that point. But I had, I'm a science background, and I was always kind of grew up with the mentality that you need to just, you know, work hard, get good grades, and you'll get exactly what you want. And that had been the case for me my entire life. No failure. I joke around that, man, I'd never even been rejected by a girl. I mean, I'm 36 now, so...
Hey, man, that one is too easy. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to let you slide because, no joke, thousands of people are going to be listening to this episode, so I'm not even going to get on you there.
I'm getting somewhere with it. I'm 36 now. I didn't say that was still the case. I'm just saying up until about 25, 26, life's pretty easy, man, you know? And I don't mean easy as in easy, but I didn't encounter that failure, which, again, I'm never, ever going to look and see that was a bad thing. I, you know, at the same time, I earned everything I got. Worked hard, I got, you know, worked hard at my job and all that. But at a certain point, and I tell people that's why I'm kind of a late blooming entrepreneur. So what ended up happening was I started to kind of dabble in real estate, the best way I can say it. And I got very, very sharp at the theory of real estate. I understand, you know, whether it was classes I attended, you know, I had a good fortune of meeting some pretty powerful investors, some of whom I'm still friends with today that I learned a lot from. I was the poster child for not taking action, analysis paralysis. Again, scientific background. And I say all that because at that point, I'd known every single thing about real estate investing, and I'd be at RIA meetings, at networking type events, talking very intelligently with folks about, you know, private money and how to do all these different things with real estate. And I had never, I would be embarrassed when someone said, hey, so how many deals have you done, right? And yeah. I'm a terrible liar. So obviously it comes out real fast. But fast forward, so that's a lot of my backstory. And then at a certain point, I just needed to take massive action. And I'll give a big shout out. So the mutual friend who introduced Alex and myself, my buddy, Domar Cross, and he really kind of turned me loose on getting these deals done. Essentially, you get your first kill and, you know, as in your first deal done. And it truly is a lot easier after that. Yeah. But you know, I just needed to get that monkey off my back. And not long after that, we connected with Alex, again, mutual friends. And I'm in Miami. I was doing deals outside of Miami. And it just made sense. I remember it clearly. It was towards the end, right before Christmas 2014. I think it was 2014. Yeah, 2014.
Yep.
Yeah. So Dorm had mentioned that, hey, this is guy Alex Pardo in Miami. He's a good guy. I'd already heard of you just from, I think, some of the, wasn't sure if it's podcasts that you're doing or some other articles you're writing. But either way, I'd known of your name, but I'd never met you. And real quickly, we started doing some joint venture deals in Miami. Still hadn't met you, but at the same time, I feel like we're doing a deal a month just on a JV basis.
Yep.
And I can kind of turn it over to you because that's where you kind of step in. And I'd say about maybe 6 months after that, you'd reached out to me personally and said, hey, because I think you thought I wasn't in Miami for some reason. And yeah, then you found out I was.
I thought you were in Tampa or Jacksonville. I think you were in, I thought you were in Tampa at the time working with Domar and his business. And I didn't really understand the relationship you and Domar had. And yeah, I mean, I'll kind of take it from there. But, you know, you guys, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you may have heard me in the past just talk about, you know, you always want to look to align yourself with people that, you know, share your values, and you want to connect with sharp people. And I think, I don't know if it's a unique ability of mine or just something that I'm just more conscious of, but ever since I got into business, especially since I really started focusing on building a team about 5-6 years ago, is I've always just kind of kept an eye out for talented people that, you know, there was an alignment of values and people that were just passionate and hungry and brought a lot of good to the table. And around 2014, you know, I was working with like three or four different joint venture partners where essentially they would pay for the marketing. You know, we had the systems. I had a small team in place. So, but our marketing budget was somewhat restricted at the time. So, you know, we were connecting with two or three JV partners that had a larger marketing budget. They would go ahead and pay for all the marketing. They would drive the leads into our system. And then we had a particular split worked out on deals that we closed. So Domar and I had had a relationship going back to, you know, 2008 or so. You know, Domar and I knew each other from the information marketing business. Good guy. We've hung out, we've connected, and he reached out and we quickly struck up a, you know, like a joint venture relationship. And that's when he brought Adrian along to kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, Adrian, but you were kind of spearheading, you know, the marketing process and, you know, kind of working with my team on getting things up and running. And
yeah,
I'll never forget, like probably 2-3 months into working directly with Adrian, I was like, man, this dude is sharp. Like he's on it. He's constantly following up. You know, he's just very proactive. He's easy to work with. Just a sharp dude, you know, and, you know, we had had several conversations and probably fast forward an extra 3 months or so, probably 6 months into us working together in a joint venture type capacity. I remember I reached out to Adrian. I'm like, hey, dude, you want to go grab some lunch? And I had already started thinking at the time I had gone through one or two different dispositions managers. And I was looking for an acquisitions person at the time, and I wanted to extend Adrian an invite to join our team and not only work, you know, through Domar in a JV capacity, but also to see, since he was local here, to see if he actually wanted to jump on board as an acquisition manager. And Adrian, man, I guess I'll kind of kick it over to you. Cause I remember I think I had like a macaroni grill on Kendall.
Yeah, it was a macaroni grill. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And I remember too. And I remember too, because at that moment, so, and again, some of these things you may or may not know, but I, again, before we started connecting on the JV deals, we had done, I had my own business. I was doing this on my own, but at the same point, I had, and I'll kind of get into more of the details of it, because one thing, like I mentioned before, the fear of real estate investing, I had it down. I had great connections. I knew exactly what to do. But at the same time, one thing that I never really, really enjoyed was being on the phone with sellers, right? Critical part of the business. And from the get-go, from before I was even doing deals, I wanted to figure out how to scale and automate a business to where it's like, you know, you see all these courses and things online and YouTube videos about how you're going to do all this just virtual wholesaling. And I'm not going to say it's BS because it can exist, but you have to put a lot of work and understanding every aspect of the business before you can step away from it. And at that moment, and that's why I kind of jumped on the opportunity. Number one, I'd already kind of seen the systems that Alex had put together while I was working in a JV capacity. And it would have been easy, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would have been easy as a JV partner to just fund the marketing, sit back and wait for stuff to come through.
Sure.
But at the same time, two things went through my mind once that started happening. Number one, our first deal happened about 2 weeks into sending our first campaign. So number one, This is not BS, because again, even though we're front in the JV marketing, that's a lot of money that we're spending that we don't control the acquisitions or the dispositions on. We're literally just going to Alex saying, hey, we're spending the money, here are the leads, we'll make us money, right?
Yep.
And for the wrong person with the wrong systems, that could have been just a black hole of throwing money down the drain. Mm-hmm. But one thing right off the bat was just the level of detail. And I don't know if you know this, but I tell everyone who I meet who either knows or doesn't know you, and I talk about the working relationship and partnership that I have with you here in Miami, is you are one of the most sincere, upfront, like honest people I've ever met. Like no joke. And we rag on each other a lot, but I don't know if I know, I'd be hard pressed to name two or three people that are more honest about how you go about anything in your life than you do, Alex. I mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I noticed that, and on top of it, it's like, all right, well, you kind of already have the systems in place to make sure things are happening on the acquisition side, making sure the leads are being processed, giving us proactive updates. Hey, guys, you know, that campaign, we got some deals coming through, and we had access to the CRM so we can see the leads being processed. So I didn't have to sit here trying to micromanage the process. So I spent $5,000 in marketing, and this guy, Alex, isn't getting us anything. There was peace of mind. But as it was happening, I'm like, I know, like, the system side of it is something that I absolutely love about real estate. And it's tough to focus on the systems before you have a really successful business, which, and again, I was getting some deals done, but it was very hard for me to get the systems in place. And I saw that you had that in place already. When it came to me, I knew it wasn't just about the acquisitions. And I was upfront with you that, listen, I am not an acquisitions manager. That being said, I'm good at closing deals. I have been and I continue to be, but that's not my genius zone. That's not the space where I operate best. And at the moment, and of course, I've grown just leaps and bounds in the last 3-4 years, but at the same time, I knew I could add immense value with kind of just spearheading or taking or even combining forces on the marketing approach, tightening up the systems that you have in your business because you already had the other components working, your acquisitions team. At the time, I think you were running with positions, but at the same time, I knew I could provide immense value. And I was upfront with you. I would be stupid to say, hey, yeah, let me jump on as acquisitions manager. No, because I felt like I could provide a lot more value beyond that role.
Yeah.
And later on, I can kind of get involved in terms of it's not that I don't understand the acquisitions department. And I think that's something that it's important as business owners, entrepreneurs, real estate investors to understand every aspect of your business, even though you're not in every aspect of your business. And I was very, very aware of that back in 2015.
Yeah,
man. No, absolutely. And I think, guys, hopefully one of the takeaways that I hope is jumping out at you from this particular podcast episode is, number one, just always look to connect with talented people that share your values and look for where there's a fit. Understand as the visionary, as the entrepreneur, as the leader of your business, figure out, okay, where are the holes in my business or where can I put in someone that will excel even better than you will, right? I mean, what you don't want to do is be wearing all of the hats in the business, because the truth is you don't have a business then. You probably have a high-paying job. It would just be a lot easier for you to go get a 9-to-5, turn off your brain at 5 o'clock and not have to worry about everything that comes with being an entrepreneur. And this was kind of a unique situation because Adrian is an entrepreneur, right? But I saw how he worked. I saw how easy and how effortless it was for us to work together. And Adrian's right. Initially I was the one, probably back in 2015, I had let go of a dispositions guy. So I was taking that role back on, but I was also wanting to grow the acquisition side. But Adrian was upfront with me. He says, look, I can do this job. But I think it was shortly after us working together that I realized he's going to shine so much more in a dispositions role. But I think what was cool, Adrian, about our relationship is that it was never really about the compensation for you. Obviously, that's a part of it. But it was more, how can we build something together? How can I add value to what you're doing? How can you add value to what I'm doing? And dude, we just connected. And here we are 3.5, almost 4 years later. And we've grown so much together and we've grown the business. And that's not to say there hasn't been challenges. There's been a shit ton of challenges. You know that. But we've grown so much as people and as entrepreneurs together. And I think that's really cool.
Definitely. And to kind of bring it back around to what you said in the beginning, where in terms of just the value of great partners. And the truth was, I always have been a big picture guy, even when I wasn't making money, wasn't doing deals, and I wanted to automate everything. And it's kind of like once you figure things out, you and I are both big sports fans, and the biggest analogy is the game slows down. And for any of you, and if the podcast listeners who may just be getting started, and that's why I like to tell my story, because a lot of times you hear a rags to riches story, or you hear someone who just hustles all out and then makes it happen. That was not my story getting started. It took a lot longer. And at the same time, but I'm at the point in my life now to where the payoff is much greater. And a lot of it came from a lot of the humbling lessons I learned, again, just trying to take it from an ego perspective. And but I'm shedding light on that because from the partnership side of it, and I know several people, including some of my other some partners I had in some other ventures who've had terrible experience with partners, like it's one after the other after the other. It's like heartbreaking sometimes what you hear what some partners do, and the worst part is even if it's not intentional. I think that's the worst part. But I look back and I look at you and me, and we're kind of focusing on that. I look at my partnership with Domar, who I'm currently growing another business outside of the Miami area with, and several other things that I do. I have been, and sometimes I'm forced to think, have I been blessed? Am I lucky? And luck plays a role in anything, business and life. But at the same time, it's hard for me when I hear these terrible stories about how some partnerships break apart and I look back at the ones that work for me. It obviously starts with the character of the people first, which is why I said to you what I said. Like before, you know, just because you're making deals happen for me and Domar didn't mean that all automatically I'm just going to jump on and be like, hey, let's work together in Miami. Like a lot of things have to kind of come before that.
Sure.
I'm sure the same thing goes for you as well. But I can't emphasize that enough to where it doesn't matter how much business can be done or how, let's just say I was a great salesperson or I was a great marketing person. That's cool. I'm sharp. That's cool. But am I a quality person? And are you the same thing for me? And it has to work on both sides of the equation. And I'm going to laugh a bit because, and you know, whether it's partners or employees that you bring on, you have to have that transparency and that trust. And I just, you know, for those listening who either have a partner or wish they had a partner or had bad experiences, I really do believe things can go a hell of a lot further than trying to do it all on your own. But you can't hide behind the fact that, hey, listen, if I only pay 50% or 25% of what I need to be in this partnership, mm-hmm. Then my partners will cover for the rest. And you're going to like what I'm about to say, because this year we've just had massive growth in terms of how we've established our company culture. And that's one of our core values, going above and beyond. Just because I wear a marketing hat or a dispositions hat for the company doesn't mean I'm fully versed in the acquisition side to where
you
know, I can jump in and lead that as needed, and vice versa, right? And there's value to that as opposed to saying, hey, Alex, I'm just going to run the entire company. I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to take 75% of the profits or whatever it is. It was never, ever money driven from that respect. And it was just more, is the culture and the respect that you have for your partner is more important. And I just, that stuck with me from the beginning. Even before we established that core value, I think we knew that about each other.
Right, right. Man, yeah, I'm just kind of listening to you speak. I'm just kind of, I have so many experiences and thoughts, and just, you know, like I mentioned at the top of the show, just us being in the foxhole together and so many situations that have happened where, you know, even though it wasn't necessarily your responsibility, you jumped in, hey, how can I help? You know, here are my thoughts. And when you can surround yourself with people like that, like Adrian, there's nothing you can't accomplish as a unit. Like absolutely nothing. And you know, Adrian, I shared this with you and the rest of the team. I recently got back, you guys know, about a couple of months ago, I got back from a European trip. I was out with my family for 17 days and I had zero worries, zero concerns. I could check in when I wanted to, but I didn't have to. And everything was being handled. And, you know, Adrian, we talked about this. Not only were things handled, but I thought they were like even smoother without me in the picture. And that's because of you. You know, and that's because of the rest of the team. And like you said, the culture we've built together, and you can step away and attend to some things in your other business, and marketing and dispositions isn't skipping a beat. Yeah. From time to time, we have challenges and things we have to address, but we tackle it together as a team, you know, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And we're kind of joking. We're like, hey, Alex, take another week, you know, take an extra week, go to another country in Europe because things are humming, you know?
Yeah.
But then you also came back revitalized and just, you know, you didn't skip a beat once you're back. And I want to speak to that as well, because, you know, as much as our partnership does mean a hell of a lot to me, because of how we've been able to grow together, how we're working with like, full transparency in terms of, I have other business opportunities, some of which in the past 12 months or so have been flourishing, and I would not have been able to put the attention and focus to the other companies that I'm running. If, again, so for example, if I wasn't transparent, if that's something that you felt, I don't know, some ill feeling towards, oh no, Adrian has to, you know, we're only in this capacity. No. And I think that's something I really appreciate, because I'll tell you something else you may not have known too, like maybe a year into working together. And again, I don't think there's ever been, we've had challenges in the business and I don't even say we've butted heads. We just had differing viewpoints.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Like, I don't butt heads with anyone that's a really close friend. I must be, maybe I should sell a course on how to do that. But I don't, seriously, I don't. But at the same time, if I felt like I was being hamstrung, right? I'm being pigeonholed. Oh, I can't really do much more because of what we're doing in Miami. Then it would make sense and to break off and do my own thing, or maybe take on these other ventures without. And I remember us having, we went to your favorite sushi place and we're talking, and I was up front. I'm like, so some of these opportunities are about to really blow up. It's going to involve me doing a lot of stuff outside of Miami, big opportunities with a few other partners. And I had an upfront conversation. If it was something where I could not still provide the value, and at the same time, so it was a tough time for me, because I was thinking, all right, well, I may have to leave this behind, because there's the whole, what's that saying? If you chase two rabbits, you'll catch none. But that being said, and I hate to say that, maybe the rabbit that is, you know, Creative Artist Solutions in Miami is already, like, we already have that rabbit. And I hate to say that, because we're always trying to improve.
Yeah.
But it, I wasn't scrambling to catch both rabbits. And I think I was able to kind of build a venture outside. And again, like, full transparency, there's no conflicts of interest. I'm very, very aware of that, to where there's never, I don't think you ever think twice about that, but I do, in terms of, I just want to make sure that everything I'm doing, because then there's like an identity problem for me. Say, who am I? Am I Adrian with, you know, with Alex in Miami? Am I Adrian elsewhere? But you're, I guess, just the trust and faith and all that friendship that we have allowed me to flourish outside of what we do while still providing value. And arguably, you know, it heightened my senses to provide even more value for our working relationship. And I wanted to point that out, because it wouldn't have happened without that level of transparency and trust between us.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And I think this could be like a real learning lesson for some people listening is, you know, you may have heard me on previous podcasts talk about just making sure that your team feels comfortable, that they can come to you and communicate to you anything. You want to celebrate the wins, but you also want to keep an open and honest environment where everybody can just be fully transparent and just put the walls down, like, no bullshit. You know, like, come to us with the good, come to us with the bad. And I've really, you know, I've striven to create a culture where people are there to support each other, and we can just put down those walls and be who we really are. And that way I think you can add the most amount of value to a team and to a company. But like you said, man, that wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't have had that trust, that loyalty, that transparency. And I think when you are open and honest with each other, you know, whether it's a partner, whether it's somebody on your team, you're going to go so much further, because they know that you care, and they know that, you know, you got their back. And you can't look at your team members or your partners as like a money source. You got to truly genuinely care about them, what they want. You want them to like grow. You know, Adrian and I are constantly just talking about, you know, I'm not going to, you know, mention where, but just, hey man, I just got back from this mastermind, here were the takeaways. And we share those things with each other. We kind of act as a funnel of good content, good information. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. And I think when you can surround yourself with people like Adrian in your team, in your business, if you're conscious about it, you know, and you're purposeful about doing that, like, you can only, the arrow's pointing up, you can only grow as a person, as an entrepreneur, and everything else in between. What I did want to kind of toss your way, man, for the people listening, Adrian, what would you say is the balance between, you know, we talk about Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, and, you know, you mentioned a quote that I have alluded to in the past, you know, if you chase a bunch of rabbits, you catch none. However, you've been able to do it in a way where you could still focus on the overarching goal. Like, you have a specific goal in mind. But you're able to be involved in a couple different businesses, two, three different businesses, and still make it work. I kind of have my thoughts on why you've been able to successfully make that work, but I kind of want to hear from you. And I think people could really benefit from understanding why you've chosen to go that direction and how you have been able to make that work.
Interesting. You know, I guess I've never been, as you asked the question, I'm actually thinking about what it really is, because going back to my roots and getting started in the business, it was always, you know, that shiny object syndrome. Something else comes up. Hey, let's learn about this type of investing. Hey, let's look at this. And, you know, I'm not even ashamed to admit it, but I've been a victim of that. I think we all have at some point in time where you just feel like this next opportunity is the next big thing. And it's especially trying when you haven't gotten one thing perfected yet. And then you're trying to chase a bunch of different shiny objects. In this case, I think for me, I wrote down a couple of things as you're talking. I think leadership, culture, and systems are the three words that jump out. And how do I want to say it? Because the truth is that everything I'm doing is within the same space. It's not like I'm a real estate investor who's trying to dabble and become, I don't know, the next Bitcoin billionaire or there's an inside joke there, but or become a stock trader or something else completely foreign to the niche in which I'm in. And so that's a start in terms of, you know, I'm not trying to be too many different things, but I say leadership, and it's just kind of like a carry on to what we were just talking about, because I look at both of us, and Alex, you're a tremendous leader. I like to believe, like, you know, I have my leadership qualities and tendencies, and that's something that I know I have and bring. And sometimes you think that that's oil and water. You kind of have two alpha personalities or two leaders. That doesn't mix well, but it works for us because we balance that leadership with humility and just, you know, I guess there's a compatibility with how we work together. And so you'd think there's no way that we could work together. And I think about my other business partners, and they're also alphas and leaders in their respect, but we all create the space for that. And I think the reason why I said systems, though, there are systems in place, and if they're not, we know systems have to be in place in order to get that done.
Yeah.
I could not do what I do if, you know, so for example, if you just completely relied on me to run the departments that I run for our business, and then vice versa, if I have to tend to things in our Miami business, and then, you know, there's an understanding of what our strengths are. Mm-hmm. And the ability to just know, just like you said, you were away for 3 weeks in Europe and you innately knew things were being taken care of. I may be going around in circles here, but systems, culture, and leadership really speak to that. And that's what allowed me to go and do other things, because now I'm allowed to shine in the areas that I excel in. And I think we're going to save a lot of this for part two of the podcast in terms of what my strengths are. And I'd love to share this with your community. But at the same time, I couldn't, if I'm the person, if I'm Adrian LLC, Adrian Investor LLC in Miami, doing everything in the business, and I've carved my name as being the guy, how could I do one other business elsewhere? That would be just a complete clash.
Right.
And I think having partners who understand what I bring, just full disclosure, hey, here's what I do in Miami. Hey guys, here's what I do in other parts of Florida and other ventures.
Right.
That frees you up a lot. And I have seen several, one of the other things I do speak for a company, Advisors Education, and I speak a lot about systems and implementation and real estate investing. And we'll talk about that probably in the next podcast. But I see people where they're trying to chase different things, or they've built up their business so much to where they realize, I hate the wholesaling business. I hate investing. I want to try doing something else. I want to get into, commercial. I want to get into a different type of investing because this is no longer joyful for me. That's because they're wearing all the hats and they haven't put the people and systems around. And I'm hoping this resonates with some people that you're speaking with. And there's a freedom when these other things are in place. And I feel like it's kind of like a perfect storm in a way, because it could easily not have worked out. What if you and I didn't have the relationship we have? I mean, we could be friends, but what if there was some resentment or jealousy on either side to where I couldn't go and do something else, or I couldn't stay? Then that wouldn't work out. We'd still be friends, and we'd be better friends if we had separated than if we stayed together. Because that was my biggest fear when my other opportunities were opening up. I didn't want to kind of half-ass the business that we have.
Yeah.
And to preserve the friendship, I should probably just leave. But in an odd twist, it brought us closer. It just did. And the parting thought I'll have on that is that I say all this stuff and it's not like it's the perfect recipe. Do all these things and you can do the same thing. You may not want to do what I'm doing, but for me, it works. So if there's even a remote part of what I'm doing, a small part of, hey, listen, I can maybe engage in a different venture. Understand what your strengths are, because if you're trying to do the exact same thing in two different businesses and there's conflicts, that wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So if there's a takeaway that, you know, if you're listening, the takeaway is to really hone in on what your strengths are and understanding KYP, know your partner. And I know it's usually know your personnel, but in this case, I'm going to substitute the P for partner. And it's one of those things that has not given me one ounce of stress as both of these rabbits, so to speak, have come into my life. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man, so I think you've hit the nail on the head on several different points. And just to kind of piggyback on a few things before we kind of transition over to, you know, I definitely want, we're going to cut this one off here pretty in the next few minutes here. And I definitely want to encourage you guys to listen to part two, because Adrian is just, the dude's just an absolute ninja. He's razor sharp. And, you know, some of his unique abilities are marketing, you know, outsourcing, automation, you know, just market analysis and just his understanding how he underwrites deals, building systems. And those are some of the more tactical things that we're going to talk about in part two that I think you can gain a lot of insight from that you can implement in your business, or maybe even think about some of those components of your business in a different way. But I think it all, just to kind of wrap this episode up in a bow, is, you know, you talked about knowing your partner. You talked about being self-aware and knowing what you bring to the table. I want to encourage everybody, if you guys can, we'll include a link in the show notes. Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach talks about unique ability. He's got a book called Unique Ability 2.0. It's essentially an exercise where in a short amount of time, others around you, others in your sphere of influence can tell you, hey, here's what I perceive your unique ability to be, and really get good at that. Understand what strengths you bring to the table and understand what you suck at, basically. You know, understand what you're not so sharp at that other people can, you know, can fill in for you. And I think the only, from my perspective, Adrian, one of the reasons I think you've been so successful in being able to operate in a couple different businesses and not go crazy chasing that proverbial rabbit is that you're filling a very specific role and you're operating in your unique ability. And then alongside all of that comes the transparency, the loyalty, the relationship, the friendship, the alignment of values. And without all of that, this wouldn't have worked out. That has to be in place. And then you have to be wearing a very specific hat, operating your unique ability. And I think that's why, you know, you come to our L10s and on a daily basis, you're energized and you're positive. You're not like, oh shit, it's another day. You know, it's because I think you're operating your unique ability and we're all working together in a culture that just fits us. You know what I mean?
Totally, totally. And I've said it, if I said it, you know, 100 times, I haven't said it enough. And the cliche is that you got to treat, you know, even if you're an employee or if you're a partner and it's your business, you treat the business as if it's your own. And sometimes I feel like that's just kind of tossed around, like I said, as a cliche. But the truth is, and it's easier for me because I am a business owner and, you know, myself. So it would be easy for me to say, hey, listen, well, this isn't my business, as in this isn't my baby I built from the ground up, so I won't give it that due attention. And I'll focus on the ones that I'm, no, like you treat these things the same. And you let, that's what I'm saying, you check the ego, you let that expectation of, or that, there's a word I'm looking for, but you let that, you kind of let that go in terms of trying to only play your role. Like go play all out in anything that you do. And when you have the right people around you, it's easy.
Mm. So, man, I usually end these episodes, as you probably know, with, you know, what's one piece of advice you would have shared with, you know, the 20-year-old Adrian, right? Like if you could rewind the clock 10, 15 years, I'm not even going to ask that question because I think the advice you just gave is perfect to wrap up this show. And everything you do, go all out, treat it as if it's your business, regardless if it's your business or not, but just strive to add so much value to whatever you do that, man, only good things happen from there. And be genuine about it. And how, you know, there's a quote that comes to mind, and we'll end with this, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. And I think Adrian is a perfect embodiment of that quote, and he lives it on a daily basis. And I've seen it over the course of the last 3.5 years. So I hope there's at least one thing that you've taken away from part one here, because, you know, you don't have to be all things to all people. Figure out what you're really, really good at. Be intentional about surrounding yourself with, you know, people that you connect with, people that share your values, share, you know, not necessarily your beliefs, because I don't think it's about that, but just connecting with the right kinds of people that are passionate, that want to do good, that want to grow. And, you know, special things can happen. I really believe that. So, Adrian, brother, I don't know if you have any parting thoughts for part one here, but I'm excited to connect with you on part two and kind of pivot going a little bit more of a tactical type of episode.
I can't add anything more impactful than what you said, so we should probably leave it at that. And the only thing I'll say is that right now there'll be a part two. We may talk, and there may need to be a third part based on the information I'd love to share. I'm kind of joking, but
no, man, it's quite. So I don't think we've ever done a three-part episode on the Flip Empire Show. Quite possibly, this might be the first time because, dude, you and I have so many stories together. A lot of wins, some failures, and there's just so much that we can share that I think can help people. But yeah, brother, I'm looking forward to part two, man. I appreciate you. Sorry this has taken so long. I don't know why I just recently had the thought to bring you on board, but I've just seen so much growth, not just as an entrepreneur, but as a person. And you deserve the credit for that because you've put yourself out there. You know, you've invested in yourself in so many different areas. And yeah, man, it's been awesome to watch you grow. I've kind of had a front row seat to it. And I'm like, I got to get Adrian on, man, because there's so much that I think you can help people with. And I'm hoping this episode really connects with people the way I think it will. So I really appreciate you, man.
You got it, man. My pleasure. Looking forward to part two.
All right, guys, I'll connect with you on part two.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.